You're listening to a message from New Life Foursquare Church in Canby, Oregon. We pray that this message will be an encouragement to you. Visit canbyfoursquare.com to learn more.
Amen. Great. Hey, listen, as the offering baskets go around, I want you to do something with me. If you have your bulletin, pull this out, and on the back, you're going to see a place where you can take notes. Now, you're going to notice last week we started a new series from the book of Proverbs titled Get Smart. Now, after each service, someone came up to me about my age and said, hey, when are you going to pull out your shoe phone? And I said, I don't have a shoe phone. And for those that are my age, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You that are younger have no clue what I'm talking about. There used to be a sitcom called Get Smart. And so what I'm going to do is, for those that are my age and older, I'll show you. This should satisfy that for you. There is the shoe phone. Maxwell Smart has the shoe phone. But we wanted you to see that this morning. I hope you feel better, because I had a lot of people saying, where's the shoe phone? Where's the shoe phone? There it is, right there. Last week, we asked this all-important question, what is the wise thing to do? So today, we're going to ask another question, equally important, I think, is what is the wise thing to say? So how we use our words is really important, because it's not just what you say, but how you say it. Would you agree with me? Would you agree with me? When my daughter was about 4 or 5 years old, one of her brothers offended her, and she was all ruffled and just upset, and she came to us, and she said, they offended me, and we said, oh, well, go back, and he'll apologize, and then you can report back on the apology. Well, she did exactly that. She came back. She was just madder than a hornet. She looked at us, and she goes, I didn't like what he said. Did he apologize? Yes, he did. He said, I'm sorry, Rebecca. And then she went on to say, he should have said, I'm sorry, Rebecca. You know, see the difference? So not only the content, but the tone of voice has everything to do with our words and how we live out reconciliation, restoration in our lives. It's both content and attitude of heart. Words are really important. What we say and how we say it really matters. We use a lot of words today. A lot of words, more words used today than probably have ever been used on the planet. And a big part of my job is using words. So almost every weekend, I work on my words. And pastors who do this, leaders who do this, they call us wordsmiths. And I don't know about that, but that's what I do. And what most people don't know about me is I'm probably a little more introverted than I am extroverted. So their only glimpse at my life is right now. And I'm using a lot of words, but I can guarantee you that when we go home this afternoon, it is one quiet house, because I spent my allowance on words right here. And I don't really have a whole lot more to say. I go home, it's quiet. And you know, that's kind of been misinterpreted by a few folks, because they think because I do this as a living that I just talk all the time. And if we're ever in a small group, listen, if we're ever in a small group and I don't talk a lot, that's me. I still like you. Please do not be offended at that. I've had some people say, well, he doesn't talk to me. I don't talk a lot in those groups. I rather listen. And here's what I really want to be all about. I want to listen to what's going on in your life. I really want to listen to what God's doing. I pay a lot of attention to listening. Even in our staff meetings, they'll tell you, he doesn't talk a lot. He really doesn't. He just listens. Our council meetings, he listens a lot. And that's really what I want to do. When I speak, I want to make sure that I economize my words well. And so when you come here on the weekend, I'm hoping and praying that these words are well used so that you hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now listen to Proverbs 18:21, probably one of the most pivotal proverbs in Proverbs. And it's this: the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, words can bring life or death. Unfortunately, for a lot of us, many of us, we're living with word scars today, aren't we? There are a lot of scars that have been brought into our life because of words spoken to us. They've caused great damage, and they were meant to cause great damage. So many of us are carrying scars that come from words spoken to us, not just yesterday, but I know that there are many of us here, including myself, that words were spoken to us years and years ago that still bring pain to us today. So here's how I'm praying. I'm praying that our hearts can heal. You know, I'm praying this way. I'm praying that God would take those word scars in our life and that they would be actually something that would be a testimony, because of our strength now, a testimony of how God heals and how God uses us now to reconcile with our words, how God uses us now to be those brokers of peace that he wants us to be, he's called us to be. And this is the amazing thing about how the Lord uses us. He takes what used to be weak in our lives, those scars, and now he makes them strong. So know this today, that you're strong in the name of Jesus. So how do we get to the point in our lives that our words are not destructive? Rather, our words have become constructive. The people, when they're with you and they're in your presence, they feel safe because they know that you are watching your words. That they know that you are skilled at constructing more than you are destructing. That's what safety and relationship is really all about. So how can we bring words that give life and not death? Well, there are a few things we can think about here. What does wisdom tell us in the book of Proverbs? There's a few things that it tells us. One is this: wisdom tells us there are times to speak up. And that's really what wisdom is about. It draws those borders for us and talks to us about times to speak up. Now, let me tell you what I think are times to speak up. One is encouragement. You always speak up when you have a word of encouragement. There's another proverb that said, hey, when it's in your power with your words to speak well of someone, then do it. And it's amazing how much we hold that back, you know? It's amazing how little we might use that strength of encouragement to bless others. So I think we always want to speak up whenever the opportunity presents itself to encourage others. There's another way that words can be used, I think, with wisdom, and that's through correction. And I'm probably speaking more to those that are mentoring, those parents and grandparents, that you have words that God has given you to bring correction. Not harsh, not degrading, but constructing words that bring correction. Now, if you see someone wandering, if you see someone going off the beaten path, and you're responsible in that relationship, it's good to bring words of correction. So I want to use my words to help bring correction to others the way that Jesus brought correction to others. Now, there's a third thing here when I think about speaking up, not only words of encouragement and correction, but here's another way that we need to use our words. We need to use our words to bring protection. We live in a pretty violent world. I mean, I would agree. But it's very harsh. And especially just walking out these doors and just, I mean, when you look at what's out there, I mean, in cyberspace, when you look at what's out there in emails and different things, there's a lot of harshness going on out there, and there are a lot of people that are getting beat up in this world. They really are. And I think as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think as someone who represents Jesus, I want to use my words to protect those that can't protect themselves. Now, this is different than being offended for others, because there's a lot of people out there offended for other people. Listen, that gets you nowhere. Can I say that right now? I'm talking about wisdom that says, listen, use the power of your words to help protect those who don't have words, who don't have the power of words. See, this is what the gospel is all about. The gospel is all about the advantage helping those that are disadvantaged. Did you know that? That's the gospel. Now you'll say, well, where is it? Where does it say that? I'll tell you where it says it. Philippians chapter 2, it says we were at a huge disadvantage. We were enemies of Christ. We were so far gone, no one else hoped for us except God sending his son, Jesus Christ. And it says he came, did not hold on to the advantage he had in heaven, but he used that advantage to protect us, to bring redemption to us, salvation to us, forgiveness to us. Do you call that protection? I do. That's what he did. He saw us in our helpless state. He did. One of the things that's so much the essence of the gospel, I'm going to tell you what it is. So much the essence of the gospel. Reading through the book of Philemon, I asked my class last week, what did Onesimus, the runaway slave, have to offer the Apostle Paul? If you say nothing, you're exactly right. The runaway slave had nothing to offer the Apostle Paul, and yet the Apostle Paul served him and advocated for him. That is, folks, the pure essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Helping someone who cannot help you. But I know this. I know we're in relationships and there is the give and take. I know it. I'm part of that. Well, what can they do for me? What can I do for them? There's that exchange. And I know this. For me, I want to keep working at that. Because I want to say, Lord, I want to be in a situation. I want to be in relationships that I know that when I serve, I'm not going to be served back. This is the gospel. It's protecting others with your words. So first is this. Let's go through some things right now together. First, we need to speak truth. That's the first thing that's on the list of three things we'll talk about. So here's how that can happen. Please listen to this. This is very important. Straight thinking before straight talking. I would love for you to repeat that after me. Straight thinking before straight talking. Read it. You can read it up there, actually. Read it again. Read it again. Straight thinking before straight talking. And can you say amen? And if you want to, on your notes, put an exclamation, maybe 10 exclamation marks. Because if I can help with this, if the Proverbs can help with this, you're winning the world. I mean, you really are winning the world. If you can think straight, wisdom, think like Jesus, have the mind of Christ before the mouth opens. It's beautiful what can happen, but destructive if you don't think before you talk. See, because we got it the other way around. We think it's our right, our privilege, our obligation to tell everyone what we are thinking before we even thought about it ourselves. It's pretty discouraging sometimes when especially you see leaders do that. Think, whoa. No one's thinking here. You got to use your brain first. This is a culture that talks first and thinks second. And so Philippians, Paul says this. I love what he says. He says, finally, brothers, Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, this is what I want you to do. I want you to think about such things. Now, some of you are saying, well, we're talking about talking. Yep, but we think first. The Apostle Paul knows that if we think about these things, we will end up talking about these things. That's what he knows. When we think about what is true, we speak what is true. In Proverbs 15:4, it says, the soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. See, what the Bible tells us to do in modeling Jesus Christ is bring truth with love and grace. Now, I've heard people say this, depending on their giftings, and I've heard this from certain segments of Christian community. Well, I'm not obligated to bring love and grace. I'm just obligated to bring the truth. So whatever happens, happens. Well, let me say this, if you've thought that before. If that's the way you think, then you're a long way from being like Jesus. That's all I would say. A long way. Because Jesus would bring the truth with love and grace. With love. Always with love and grace. Can I say that? That is probably one area, I'm going to say this, the church in America has really stumbled. We just kind of step up and say, hey, this is, I'm just going to say it. Well, listen, you got to take some time, go into the closet with Jesus and let him sink in and let him absorb you and let his presence be real so that you come out of there with words and even greater compassion for whoever you're going to talk to. Makes all the difference in marriage, makes all the difference in family, makes all the difference in a relationship. I cannot believe in my time, especially as a parent, how quick I was with the words that might have been true, but I didn't take time and let the love of Jesus just sink in my heart. Got to let the love of Jesus sink in your heart, and that makes a difference. How many know that truth can be heavy? It can be. Some people say, well, oh, well, truth hurts. Well, no, harsh, loveless words hurt. Jesus came to us with truth and grace. Someone said this, I just bring the truth, not the grace. And I said that earlier. Well, listen, we need to be more like Jesus. Proverbs 16:24 says this, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. I love that. So here it is. I'm going to give you an acronym. You can write this down. Hopefully it helps you remember. Before we talk, we need to think. Let's look at the acronym THINK. T, is it true? Ask the question. Is it true? Is it true? H, Is it helpful? Because sometimes we just unload because we feel it's helpful for me. That's only part of the equation. The other part of the equation is, am what I'm going to say helpful for the person I'm going to say it to? You just don't. If you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you don't get to just dump. You don't just get to be a trash bin and go, you know, just without thinking about, is this helpful? Because I know some people say, I don't want it to be helpful. Just jab them. No, 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 no. Is it helpful? Is it inspiring? That's one of the things I think we need to ask. Are we coming with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? I know my style of teaching and communicating is more of a coaching style. So this is big for me. I want to inspire. I want to inspire kids. I want to inspire people. I want to inspire them to follow Jesus, because inspiration is catalytic. Inspiration brings people together. I love to inspire people to the next level of discovery in their life, regardless of what that might be. Regardless. Last week, I was at my grandson's baseball practice, and they said, hey, take the pitchers and catchers, help them get better. I said, great, I'll do that. So I went out and was working with the pitchers and catchers, and I walked up at the very end of practice, and there was this little guy. He was trying to hit the baseball with all his might, and he was missing by a long shot. My heart just broke. I'm just watching this kid going, man, he needs a success. You know, he needs to be inspired. And so I walked up to him, and I said, look at me. Look me in the eyes. And he's looking me in the eye. Like, you want to hit this thing? Yeah. I said, all right. You don't take your eye off this thing, and here's a couple things I want you to do. I want you to take that top hand. I want you to throw it right at the ball and hit it back at the guy who's pitching. I'm going to let him know you're there. Hit it right back of him. And the pitcher's going, whoa. I said, go ahead and try it. You know what he did? Next four pitches, bang, 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 right up the middle. And you saw him go like this, and he walked off like he was in the MLB, man. Like he just signed a contract for $1 million. He's walking off. His mom's crying. He's crying. Listen, we inspire. That's why we have the Holy Spirit alive in us. And then in, is it necessary? We talked about being helpful and necessary. Is what I'm going to say necessary? Does it need to be said? And then K, and this is one that I really, really look at, is it kind? Ultimately, when it comes out, is it kind? That doesn't mean it might not be hard to hear, but is it kind? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Can I tell you something? I want you to go through, if you want to do a word study, find out every place that Paul, let's go to Paul, where Paul uses the word mature, and find out if your words, if he talks about your words around that thought of maturity. Guarantee, almost every time, when maturity is talked about, guess what else is talked about? It's what comes from your lips almost every time. So what does that say? A mark of maturity is how we use our words. A mark of maturity in the body of Christ is how we use our words. I love Psalm 45, 2. It says, you are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace since God has blessed you forever. I love, you know what that is? This is God's will for your lips. God's will for your lips is that they be anointed with grace. Write that one down. This is God's will for my lips. Psalm 45, 2. Now the second thing here is we need to speak, not with just truth, but we need to speak encouragement. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. It says, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters? When you come together, wherever that is and however it looks like, whatever it looks like, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. See, again, what is it using? Using our words. How we speak in mature with maturity, built up. So wherever that is, in your home, in your small groups, in the exchanges you might have here, are we building each other up? You know, we had a going away party for Pastor C.J. Knutson on Wednesday, and one of the things we do, it feels a little uncomfortable, especially if you're the person in the hot seat. But what we want to do is we want to take a significant amount of time, not only just to eat and talk and fellowship, but we want to share our words with people. And so I just asked C.J., come on up here. We want to tell you how much you mean to us. I want to tell you how much you mean to our church and to us as individuals. So CJ got up there. You can see CJ's kind of a tender guy. And that's why I love him. One of the reasons I do. And I love that about what our church family does. And there was probably a half an hour where people just shared words of encouragement. They just spoke from their heart and said, this is what you mean to us. Folks, we need to take more time to do that with each other. And what I love here is this church does this so well, and you are known for your kindness. You are known for how you speak and how you represent Jesus. Listen, when do we usually share words, good words? Where is the venue, the place that is always, there's something, there's usually always some good word? I heard it. Funerals. There are funerals. The dead person doesn't even know you're saying that about them. That's a tragedy. It is a tragedy. I've never been in a funeral where someone popped up and said, hey, thanks, a little too late, but thanks for those words. I've never seen that. And it's sad to me that we call it a eulogy. You know what the eulogy word in Latin is? A good word. Why don't we speak good words while people can still hear them? Let's not wait till they're out of our life. Let's not wait till they're gone. Let's talk about them now. Kind words about someone else. So when you go today, go somewhere, wherever you're spending time, talk about people kindly. Bring good words. Don't wait until the person you want to say kind words to can't hear you anymore. They need to hear you. And I'm so blessed by people in this room, Annette and I, over our years and our journey. This is just a very inspiring, encouraging place. And I love people who encourage me, and I hope I do the same for others. I think about my friend Kevin Logan, who didn't know I was going to do this. Just woke him up, didn't I, Kevin? No, I didn't. Kevin listens to every word I say. you know, I was thinking, Kevin, this is what I was thinking today. I was sitting there putting this together, and I thought of you. And I thought, oh my goodness, 29 years of sobriety. And I calculated, that's 10,585 days. You've been sober. And I'm not, that was last month. So, man, it's close to 10,600 days. Now, you're making some headway, brother. I love that. That's some serious math. That's some serious math. We have people that are here in this place that you've done some incredible things, some amazing things. And I hope you hear that. I hope people say good things to you because we need to be encouraged with words. Listen, it's always easier to tear down than to build up. Proverbs 12:25 says this, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. Would you agree? When you're not feeling good, when you're anxious, when you're heavy laden, that a kind word, that timely word that just shows up somewhere encourages you. And here's the last thing. We speak truth, we speak encouragement, and then we speak wisdom. Proverbs 16:21 says this, the wise in heart are called discerning, and gracious words promote instruction. So I'm going to do something. I'm going to be very specific here, and I'm going to target a group of people. So don't get uncomfortable right now, but I think it's a good word. I want to encourage our businessmen and women, and our leaders in this room. And here's what I want to say to you. I love you so much. And you know this, if we've spent any time together, what you do is so important to the kingdom of God. What you do is so important to community. It's amazing what happens when these business leaders in our churches are living for the gospel, they're living for Jesus, and their businesses show that. It's pretty incredible. And here's what I want to say to you. I want to say this. Listen, when the world loses it, like they are now, and they're going nuts, don't lose it. Don't lose it. And the reason is that in a lot of ways, you're the fabric of community, that your steadiness in Jesus Christ and the gospel. And I know you're banging out every day. I talk to some of you. I pray with some of you in your businesses. Man, we're taking a hit. I get it. But can we do this? Can we agree together that we're on this journey to see the kingdom of Jesus Christ expand? And there's no better place, I think, to see that perpetuated and exponentially grow than in your businesses and through your leadership. It's as we collectively come together. Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to speak to you just from the framework of, let's call me a business person right now. Can you do that? I am a small business leader in this community. I oversee 40 employees, 40 to 50 employees. We have assets of $4 to $5 million. But we have this mission. And here's where our job may look different. My job may look different than yours, but here's where the job gets to be the same, and here it is. The mission we have together is to reach the world for Jesus Christ. That's the mission we have together. You're doing it in different ways. I'm doing it in different ways, but I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is making disciples who make disciples for Jesus, and can you say amen to that? And I'm telling you, I'm all on board with you folks. And I'm just praying for our business leaders and men and women in the church. I want to just continue to share this passion that I have for you and for this community to see the gospel continually promoted. And I see it happening. Our community desperately needs your wisdom. You have a greater influence than you may realize. And you may just, I'm going to say this, Friday when you left work, you may have just got your butt kicked. And you're coming here today going, man, I just feel like I got worked over the coals last week. Please don't give up. Please be encouraged in Jesus' name today. Because what God wants to do and how he wants to use you, you have yet to see. It's going to be greater and greater. Your influence is incredible. Proverbs 12:6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. Leaders, your words and life in Jesus rescue many. Keep rescuing. Keep doing it. About 15 years ago, a guy came into church. He's just checking us out, you know, like peeking in the door. Didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. Just was kind of, you know, leaning in. And he was a mucky man. He was like a corporate leader in a huge banking firm. And he showed up here, and he listened a couple weeks, and then he came up to me in between services, say, hey, can we have lunch? Because I just have some questions about this Jesus thing, this God thing, this Bible thing. I have a lot of questions. I said, sure. So we met for lunch the next week. We sat down, and he says, honestly, I don't see any relevance in my relationship, or if I had a relationship with God, how that would help my business, how that would help anything that I do. I'm not connecting the dots. He said, he was just honest. He said, I'm not connecting the dots. So I thought of telling him a story, and I did. I told him a story. And I disguised the names in the story because he would have been wise if I would have told him that who I was talking about was Jehoshaphat. And, you know, that's not one you just pull out and someone goes, oh, yeah, I know who Jehoshaphat is. I just told him about a guy. And this is the way he handled his affairs. A business guy handled his affairs like this. This guy's eyes just got, wow, he's zeroing in on me. He said, whoa! That is awesome. Can I meet this guy? And I said, yeah, he's dead, but you can meet him in the Bible. He goes, this is what he said. You mean to tell me that stuff is in the Bible? I said, absolutely. His name's Jehoshaphat, and this is how he solved the problem. He goes, I want to know this stuff. I want to know this. Right there at that table, we prayed. He received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. And now he's been out and part of our church plants that have gone around this nation. He has jumped in. And the reason he's jumped in is because he gets it. He says, I'm not just doing business over here and following God here. This is all the same thing. This is what I do. And I love that. I love to see the light go on there. Earlier we talked about a time to speak. Now let me do this. There's a time where we want to be silent. Winston Churchill said this, courage is what it takes to speak when it's right to do so. Courage is also what it takes to sit down and listen. Proverbs 13:3 says, those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin. How many can say amen to that? And you've actually experienced that. I mean, on both sides of that equation, you have. You've experienced. Now, I love this one. Even fools are thought wise if they just shut up. But it says silent. But if they just shut up. And discerning if they hold their tongue. So even a fool is seen wise when they're silent. Have you ever been in a situation, and maybe you've been the person, But you've been in a meeting or somewhere, and someone just starts talking. And you're thinking, okay, that's good. Stop now. No, stop. Please. Maybe you've heard yourself start to talk, and you can't land the plane. And you're going, oh my gosh. That's our foolishness. See, and wisdom says, you know, there's a time to speak, but boy, there's a time to be silent. It even says, if you're a fool, and I've been a fool a lot of times going into meetings, and I know the answer is not to just start talking and telling people what you don't know. The best thing you do is you go in and you kind of go like this. Here, this works. Everybody go like this. Just put your hand like this. Go, interesting. That's it. That's all you got to say. Shut up. Sit down. And I'll tell you what, you will be looked at. Everyone in the room will go, wow, she's wise. Wow, he is wise. Why? Because our inclination, our impulse, is to talk. It's counterintuitive at times to be silent, but there are times we need to be silent. During World War II, they had different campaigns going around the globe about silence and being quiet because it was a lot more peril. Just different spies, different things around, you know. And so we adopted a phrase during World War II that was really, I mean, it was a campaign and it was run home to everyone knew this phrase. For some of you, what is it? Say it. Loose lips sink ships. That was the USA campaign. Loose lips sink ships. What do you think it was for UK? Here's what it was for UK. Mum's the word. That was their slogan. Mum's the word. What they're saying is, listen, you don't have to go blab everything. Please be quiet, because if you talk, it becomes more perilous. During that time, there was embargoes on the Atlantic Ocean. The Germans had U-boats, and they were blowing our cargo, and they were saying, people are talking, don't talk anymore, because you're sinking our ships. I think this is really a good spiritual discipline. And here's some outcomes of silence. One is we refrain from attack. When we're silent, when we need to be silent, we refrain from attack. Proverbs 15:23 says, a person finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. Wow. Can I say this? And I just get a little bit of instruction, and I want you to hear this with all my heart. There's a lot of press out there. There are a lot of things being said out there. That they have to do sometimes with Christians, celebrities who may not act the way that we want them to act. And the first thing that I hear people do, and it really breaks my heart, is we step in and we start to cast judgment. Can I say this? Stop it. Because there's a better way to go at that. Can I tell you, if you pull judgment out, can I tell you what you add? Why don't you add intercession? Why don't you pray for that brother or sister who might be struggling? And I'm almost flabbergasted and sick to my stomach, and I don't do this a lot, but then I see everybody's opinion come flying in, like on Facebook, on the media, about someone who stumbled or didn't do something religiously the way we thought they should do it. Stop it. We can't afford that. We cannot afford that. My response in those situations should be one not to judge, but should be one to intercede and say, Lord, I want to intercede for these people. I want them to be loved in Jesus' name. Here's another one. We refrain not only from attack, but from gossip. From gossip. Proverbs 26. Woo, that's a tough one right there. Proverbs, because we disguise it so well. That's all I'm going to say. Proverbs 26:20. Hey, I got a prayer request, and we gossip. Excuse me, I had to give a little. 26:20 says, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Are you feeding the flame or not? Because you can starve that thing. You don't have to feed that thing. And that thing will keep burning if you keep feeding it. I love J. Vernon McGee. He was one of the guys I just locked onto early on in my Christian development. Listen to what he says here. I love what he says here. He says, some people will believe anything if it's whispered to them. It's called fake news. You just whisper it, and oh, that must be the truth. Don't you believe that for one second. Don't you believe that for one second. Listen, we refrain from gossip. And there's so much we can learn. I'm going to finish with it. So much we can learn if we just listen and we don't talk, if we just keep our ears open. I want to learn more about the people around me. I want to learn more about the cultures that I've been called to. There's cultures that God wants the gospel to go into. And guess what? We get to be part of that. But I'm going to tell you, you disqualify yourself from being a part of God's great work if you have loose lips that sink ships. If you cannot refrain from attacking, if you cannot refrain from gossip, we stand on the sidelines. God wants to use us. He wants to use the body of Christ. And what is going to take the greatest discipline in the days ahead is controlling this. That's biblical. James says, man, you control that thing in your head, you control the world. Let's do that. Let's do that together. And the last thing is refrain from lies. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Let's be trustworthy people through what we do, the wise things we do, and the wise things we say. Amen. Bow your head with me, would you? Father, we just thank you for our time together. I'm just so thankful I'm part of a community that really haven't had to work or deal a lot with gossip. This community has been so discreet and so loving and so kind. Just keep reminding us of our place. Keep reminding us of how we can reach the world, and a lot of it really has to do with how we use our words. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Would you go ahead and stand with me? Do that. And we're going to have some folks around the building that will be glad to pray with you right after the service. And we want that to happen for you. So don't.
Thank you for listening. Please let us know if you have questions or would like us to pray with you. You can contact the church office most weekdays at 503-266-4444 and anytime through canbyfoursquare.com.